Today on Movie Rollers, we talk about The Sun Is Also a Star and The Hustle. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yuzdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or on the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings.
Hello.
Hello.
Kind of returning from a post-Tribeca Film Festival hiatus. Not really a...
No, we recorded once.
An intended hiatus. Have we recorded since Tribeca?
Yeah.
I don't believe we have.
Joe's also getting older.
What did we record?
We recorded the final show.
We cheated. But I meant the content.
Oh, content.
Yeah, yes. We haven't recorded any movies.
Correct. And then we've been busy with watching a lot.
Well, did you deliberately misunderstand me there,
Ashley?
You did for comedic effect.
Yeah.
Fail. So, it wasn't really... It was kind of an enforced break. Yes, I know you were traveling.
Yes.
You had a trip to Europe, which was...
To our home.
To London.
And you returned bringing biscuits from London.
Yes.
So thank you very much for those.
Of course, and thank you for lovely tea.
They will be crunched away with glee.
We're so proper.
We are.
This is very civilized, this podcast.
Very civilized.
We should wear hats.
We're not uncouth.
That would be quite fun to wear a hat.
Yeah.
A podcasting hat or just a hat in general?
No, like a smart hat.
Like a smart hat, like a top hat for you and me.
Yes, Joe. And I could wear a bonnet.
Yes. Whatever that is. What's a bonnet?
You know, the thing with the ribbon on the end.
Yeah.
Like Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah. Or you could wear a big... Like, I could. Yes.
I think as my hair thins out, I'm more interested in wearing hats, like to mask the
baldness.
Thank you for the lack of a euphemism there. But
you're like, how many ways can you describe hair?
You can say, you know, a less arid pasture or something.
Less arid.
No, more arid pastures.
The only problem with wearing hats is the hipster vibe. Like, I don't want to look like that guy that's trying to be 20 years old by wearing the hat.
No, but you...
Or growing a beard.
Remember that movie a couple of years ago that had...
with Adam Rashmi's Driver.
Poking fun at the beard that I've grown to.
No, it's a nice beard. What's wrong with the beard?
It is nice.
It's the hipster vibe.
It's the hipster, yeah. Joe's drinking nitro brew and growing his beard.
I did. Wow. I made nitro brew coffee.
Wow. He makes it at home.
Really? Is it possible? Okay.
You buy little canisters of nitrogen gas, not nitrogen oxide. They're different things.
That would just make us laugh. that would be a funny coffee.
It's actually quite fun to do.
And it can only be had cold, right?
It can only be had cold because the nitrogen dissolves better.
Yeah. I would rather have a hot.
A hot fizzy coffee. Well, it's not fizzy, actually. It's just very so smooth.
I think you should make Yazdi one when it's coats, morning.
It coats.
Like now it would probably keep him up.
It coats
until
everything.
Tuesday. Probably,
yeah.
Down.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, enough.
You need a tattoo, Joe.
I do.
Oh, God.
Yes.
I've never been brave. You know, my problem with tattoos is that
tell us what your problem with tattoos is, Joe.
Yeah, tell us.
They are there forever.
Yeah, but...
You know. Like, one day you might wake up and say, you know what, that picture of Ariana Grande, I don't want it on my butt anymore.
Yeah, but then you go and you pay $200 and get it removed.
Well, why go through all that pain?
I wake up and I say, I don't want that tattoo of Ariana Grande on your butt.
Details. Okay, we have a couple movies to talk about, but with this podcast, we thought we would talk about probably the biggest movie of the summer so far. We're not going to do a full review, and that's in part because we didn't see the press screening, and also this movie is likely to be review proof, as well as you've probably already seen it if you wanted to see it. So but we did want to kind of share our thoughts, because we grumbled quite a lot about the movie's prequel, which was Avengers from last
Infinity
year
Storm.
So Infinity War, that's right. And I actually watched Infinity War again just before watching Endgame, because I had such a poor reaction to Infinity War that I thought maybe I was just tired. And I watched it again. It was on Netflix. And it didn't hold up at all. It was really? it was just as bad. It was just, you know, it felt like too many characters fighting for too little space, and so I wasn't really not looking forward to Endgame, although we kind of felt we had to watch it because it was the big movie.
It wasn't bad as much as just disappointing. I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's entertaining, but it just was kind of drifting. It was lost.
I mean, for me, more than Infinity War, I think Captain Marvel was more disappointing.
Oh, did you really? We didn't talk about that. Yeah. Rashmi and I reviewed it.
But that's right. Yeah, you hadn't seen it by that time.
I really liked it.
You did?
Yeah.
I just found it to be nonsensical because...
I think part of it is the timeline. I think she's just, we've never heard of her, and then she suddenly pops up.
And then
she's
pops part down. Of
the Avengers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her part and her powers are seemingly endless. Like, there's nothing she can't do.
Right.
She has glowing hands.
Right.
Well, but she can lift can do anything. Planets, and she can, you know, she can do...
She's Superman.
Yeah.
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 So on to Avengers.
Yes.
So what do you guys make of it? Because I really like this.
I guess I'm the one that hasn't loved these as much. I really enjoyed this movie. For me, it was well-paced. I felt like it tied a lot of loose ends together, although not everything. I don't believe it's the end, unfortunately, and I don't want to see any more. But if this is where it all ends, I would be super happy.
Yeah, Steve, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of... there's a lot of underbelly to this. This looks like a very effortless 3-hour movie. And the reason why it looks effortless, I have not heard a single person complain. And I went in, you know, 3 hours. It flew by very quickly. And I think the reason why it flies by so quickly and it looks so effortless is because there's been a lot of work behind it. I think the script has been very well done. Not because it's particularly clever or anything, but just as you said, there are so many characters here. There's, at last count, there were 40 or so in the Avenger universe, you know, different superheroes, their backstories, their related characters. And to kind of find decent time and things for them to do and still remain true to this movie is very much a continuation of Infinity War. So I think... just in terms of level of difficulty, I think they did it just about as best as it can be done. It was fine. It's a good movie. I was very impressed with it. I don't know if it's great, and I do think, you know, they did tie up this whole, you know, at least this generation of Avengers pretty nicely with this. And there's of course a Spider-Man movie coming, and you know there's some handing over of. You know, of the crown, if you will, to other people during mm-hmm. this. So I'm sure the Marvel Universe is going to continue. But again, I think this was done just about as best as it could be, considering the level of difficulty.
What about you?
You know, maybe it's in part because expectations were so low that I kind of went in, you know, with a bit of a sneer. I was reluctant to see it, but I felt like I had to. And yeah, I thought it was tremendous entertainment. There's a big part of me which feels that Infinity War was very much filler. And I think, you know, studios and the economics of movies these days required that we couldn't just have a finale. No, we've got to divide it into two movies and make two movies from it. And both installments have broken records. But I felt like the wild goose chase that was Infinity War, which was let's go from here to there to here to there to here to there while Thanos collects his stone so that he can become all powerful, just felt, you know, very forced and contrived and drawn out, whereas this movie brought everything together very nicely. So you know, it really felt like one story that should probably have been one movie. But, you know, tying it up as efficiently as they did in Endgame was very satisfying. I actually fell in love with the characters in the universe again, and it felt like they all had room to breathe. It's a little frustrating in the way that it ended with, you know, there's a couple of characters that just seemingly disappear. They're like poof, poof, and you wonder what is, you know, what their ultimate fate was, as if something was cut. It felt like...
like misedited because there isn't a loop tied for them. We can talk after. Yeah, otherwise, it would be spoilers if you're the one person who hasn't seen it yet.
Well, I guess spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie. It was the Zoe Saldana character. She's Gamora. Like, where is she?
Yeah,
gone?
Where's Gamora gone? She was there and then she was gone. but not gone, right. Just not accounted for.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a lot of not. I mean, again, yeah. There's 40 characters there, so right. It's really, yeah.
Correct. But she had almost
a... She had a big role in this.
Right, and then suddenly, oh, yeah. What?
I guess the frustration for me still is that if the solution is always a time loop,
yeah.
Well, then you can always, yeah. You know, then why not...
So nothing's permanent then.
Correct, nothing yeah. is permanent in that universe. I mean, I think I'll give it kudos for its tone. I think mm-hmm. tonally it played it much more towards Thor, Ragnarok, Ant-Man, Wasp, that type of humor than it did to kind of the seriousness of the first Avengers. So I like that a lot of it was more tongue-in-cheek mm-hmm. and comical, and we see a fat Thor. And, you mm-hmm. know, that was quite funny, I thought, although that joke wore out a little bit towards the end of that segment. But I did like the tone of this one. And I love when Ant-Man makes an appearance. So I like that he was a big part of this movie as well.
Yeah, and I think one way of doing this would have been to do this in a democratic fashion, where everybody gets their place and their time, which would have been totally wrong. So they do account for enough time for the key players,
yeah,
and less time for the others. Although in the last 10 minutes of the movie, everybody and their associated characters are seen
yeah.
together. And that was kind of a nice, because through, I don't know, 28 films now, there's this whole universe they've built, and you get to see all of them. And it yeah. kind of felt like a homecoming. It felt good to see all of those characters together yeah. in one place.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well,
we can say Marvel hasn't gone away, because now Phoenix, the Dark Phoenix, is going to come, which I'm really excited about. So X-Men. Dark Phoenix, X-Men, which I prefer the X-Men universe personally than the kind of the Avengers Marvel really? Universe. Yeah, I love the X-Men universe. That for me really works, because it feels like it's less superheroish and people who are dealing with being different. Mm. And sometimes that being different manifests as a power. And I really like that.
Mm-hmm, that aspect.
Yeah, I love that aspect. So I'm super excited. Also because Sophie Turner, who just finished in Game of Thrones, is actually the Dark Phoenix. So I'm excited to see her play a different character.
All right. Yeah. Let's move on then. Yeah, we felt the need to kind of discuss that, because in part because I think we bashed the first one.
And the second somewhat. One. And
I liked the first
and
one
And the 24th one and the 27th. No, I'm joking.
You know, I loved the first Joss Whedon one.
Well, yeah, sorry. I meant the in Infinity War.
Infinity War, it was right, called. Right.
Yeah, so. All right. Moving on, movie number two, I guess. That wasn't a formal review. We didn't score it, but I think we all liked it. The first formal review of this podcast is The Sun is Also a Star. So give us a background on that, and then let's talk about what we thought.
Yes, so The Sun is Also a Star is based on the popular novel by Nicola Yoon. And she, along with Tracy Oliver, get credits for the screenplay for this movie. It's a movie adaptation of this particular novel. And it seems in the whole, you know, young lovers, tweeny kind of universe. And the one-line tag is that a hopeless romantic, ambivalent about his future in medical school, falls hard for a hard-luck young woman who doesn't believe in love. It's directed by Rai Russo Young, and it stars Yara Shahidi, Anais Nin, Charles Melton, John Leguizamo, Jake Choi, among others. So I didn't see this. I was out of town, but the both of you did. Is this a sun we need to keep shining?
So I think Yazdi purposely went out of town for this one. Yes. Although I kind of secretly think you might enjoy like this, because I know you're a sucker for a good love rom-com. Story. And yes. Who doesn't? No, it's not a rom-com for sure.
Oh, okay.
You know, who doesn't love a well-written good love story?
Oh.
I wouldn't say this is a really well-written love story, but it pulls sufficiently at your heartstrings if you're not made of stone.
Oh.
I like that this is not a Caucasian, you know, typical kind of main protagonist that we see. We actually have an Asian guy with a mixed race girl. And of course it's a little hammy, but you know, it's exactly what it says on the box.
Mm.
I actually enjoyed this more than I thought I would.
So the female lead, she's from television from Blackish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Joseph?
So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to review this nicely. Why? Because it was kind of a nice movie, and I don't want to bash it. It really, you know, it is a very sweet little movie, yeah, if you choose to just accept the fact that this is not, you know, the next great, you know, romance movie of the 21st century, right? It plays itself quite seriously. I mean, you know, there's room for kind of a lot more fun with some of the setup here and the characters, but they, you know, they're playing to their PG-13 audience, and they're playing it the PG-13 way, and so it's all kind of very, very harmless and cute and predictable. So, you know, is it a great movie? Not at all. But did I have did I have a good time watching it? I think the charm of both leads, you know, had me won over. I think the female lead in particular, Natasha, Yara
Shahidi. Yara Shahidi.
Sorry. Yeah, she has some kind of something. There's something very likable about her on-screen presence, and you know, even though, you know, she's in this situation where, you know, she's faced with deportation and you know, it's like that movie from a few years ago, Like Crazy. Do you remember that with Anton Yelchin
And Elizabeth?
I really liked that. I thought that was kind of a better version of this type of, you know, potential forced separation. The timeline was really odd for me. That's the only real, you know, hole that I'll poke in this. This all happens within 24 hours.
Not even. Feels like. Yeah.
And so when you kind of have the intensity of this relationship build over this incredibly short period of time, those of us that are older than 13 years of age that may have had experiences might feel them a bit less intensely than, you know, maybe your average teen would. But again, I'm going to be nice to this movie. Know what it is, and take it for that, because it's not trying to be anything else.
Yeah, I like that it's kind of tackling this sort of dreamers immigration angle, but that's not really what the film is about. That's really the plot device that allows us to have this 24-hour artificial end point, right? She's going to be deported in 24 hours. But it does start to look at the experience of being a first generation immigrant. Or, you know, a child of an immigrant, or, you know, an American implant in a sense. So I like that it starts to look at it through that lens, but that's not what the film is about. So it knows that it's not that type of a movie. It kind of knows what it is.
That's good.
And I agree with Joe, the only contentious part of this is the timeline. It seems impossible that this would all happen in 24 hours, but it seems to work. And I think as charming as she is, he is also very charming. And their chemistry really works together.
He plays Reggie on Riverdale, so they're both television stars. So I'm glad that, you know, some good casting.
Yeah, you know. And again, it's really nice to see, I don't know if you know, Black Panther or, you know, Crazy Rich Asians has had an influence, but it's really nice to see, you know, non-white main characters.
Yeah. I think there's a sense of it's gone down a kind of a politically correct checklist of ingredients to throw into a movie. And it's kind of checked them all off one by one. It's also, you know, very clear about its, you know, its audience, right? It speaks to an idealism that, you know, we're all so cynical as we get older. You know, this speaks to a kind of a time and world where, you know, idealistic views of immigration and love and relationships and family are all there. So, you know, again, it's not trying to be, you know, the next big thing. It's very sweet in its
intentions. It's not Wuthering Heights, you know. Right. It's not okay. Like, you know, right. It's not one of those.
So I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. I think it's more likable, maybe for a slightly younger crowd. And again, it's very clearly aimed at them. So, you know, don't go you know, for this, if you want something, you know,
Avengers
biting or more critical, this is just a nice little movie.
This is not the movie audience that you're going to go into if you can't get tickets to John Wick, which we're going to review in next week's podcast. Right? Right. It's not a case if you get to the front of the line and you're like, oh, I want to go and see John Wick, and then go, oh, sorry, no seats, go watch The Sun Is Also a Star. Don't.
Right. Unless you're trying to sneak into John Wick because you're 15 years old and your 13-year-old girlfriend is there with you, in which case she might appreciate it.
So. Yeah, so I'll also give it, I think 6 is a very reasonable score.
I would have thought you would have gone for a 7. The way
it feels like a 7, but it doesn't feel as good as a 7 in some ways.
Okay.
I think it's 7 if you're 15 years old.
Which is about a quarter of our age. Okay. Nearly.
Speak for yourself. Yeah, I know. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, what?
What? No.
That's after I spoke about losing my hair at the beginning of the
podcast. There you go, yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, movie number 2 then is The Hustle.
Yes, so a bit of trivia. The Hustle, the new movie, 2019, starring Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson, is advertised as a remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which came out in 1988, and starred Steve Martin, Michael Caine, and Glenn Headley. I remember watching this in the cinemas, but I'm probably dating myself. But it turns out that Dirty Rotten Scoundrels itself was a remake of a movie from 1964 called Bedtime Story, which had Marlon Brando, David Niven, and Shirley Jones in it.
Interesting.
So this is the third outing. I think the female roles are switched, that the con men played in the 1984 version by Michael Caine and Steve Martin are this time played by Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson. And they star as female scam artists, one low rent and the other high class, who team up to take down the men who have wronged them. This movie is directed by Chris Addison, and there are 5 credits for writing, which is never a good sign. But it's Stanley Shapiro, Paul Henning, Dale Jonner, Jack Schaefer, those are the 4, sorry. And then in terms of the cast, additional cast includes Ingrid Oliver, Timothy Simmons, and I'm scanning through for any familiar names and not finding them. So again, I was out of town when you guys saw this. Is this a worthy remake? I must say Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, I hold with a lot of her. It was and how funny it was and what a great twist it had at the end. But does The Hustle have any of that cleverness, wittiness, twist?
I'm dying to hear what you thought, Joe.
I mean, this is a movie that's trying very, very hard to entertain. I mean, you know, you can see it, its effort in. And when I say that, I'm really talking about the performances of the leads. Both Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson are doing their best with what is essentially very lousy material. It's not funny. It really is. It gives you a couple of chuckles throughout, but everything feels kind of so forced and overplayed and. So it kind of fails as a comedy. I just looking for the very first time here at its Rotten Tomatoes score, and it's running at 15%, which is kind of brutal. I didn't realize it was received as quite as badly as that. But at the same time, it doesn't entirely surprise me because the movie, despite its best efforts, comes across as kind of embarrassing for both actresses. They're working their asses off to try and make us laugh here, but the setups and the premises and the characters are just so ridiculous that it all comes across as a little bit tiresome. And its only saving grace is that it's a very efficient little film. It gets you in and out pretty quickly, but not funny, unfortunately, and that's too bad because I love both of these actresses.
So for me, this feels like a marrying of Anne Hathaway's 2 roles that she's done, one in Ocean's 8 meets her one in Johnny English, right? So it to me, it's kind of like that same sensibility.
Get Smart. Yeah.
Or was it Get Smart? Get Smart. Maybe I thought it was Johnny English, but yeah. So it's that same type of character. And I think like Joe, it is trying really hard, but there's nothing new in this movie, right? There's nothing at all. I mean, it's fun for some moments. It's silly and it's trying to be entertaining for the most part. It's okay for a Friday night decompress. But
back of the plane.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of tired of the Rebel Wilson trope. Mm. I'm so tired of...
Yeah.
It's a one-joke character, right? She's large. And it feels like everything is about her being larger than... You know, larger and more clumsy and pathetic. But I wish...
Greedy. You know, like there's a joke where she, you know, she's it's basically scamming somebody into giving her a free meal. But... it's in the trailer, but it's the way that she orders, you know, far more food than, you know, one would be expected to eat. And it's basically a fat joke. That's
very tired, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on. I agree with you there, Rashmi.
Yeah, I'm just tired of it. You know, and if you compare that to The Spy with Melissa McCarthy, which was so innovative and, you know.
To its great credit, not a single fat joke.
Correct. Yeah. I don't think it needs to be about someone being fat. And in fact, I think this would have actually been a much funnier movie if they had switched roles. Mm. I would like to have seen Rebel Wilson play the Anne Hathaway character and Anne Hathaway play the Rebel Wilson. That would have actually been quite a funny movie, I think.
So Rebel Wilson is the one down on her luck?
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's just, it becomes a farce. It's
by a first-time director. He's directed television before, but this is his first movie. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know how the script got greenlit, to be honest, because when I kind of read through it, it's so old-fashioned in terms of, you know, this is a movie that I think if it had been made in the 80s, we would have kind of giggled at its implausibility. And here they're really, you know, it's poorly written rather than poorly directed. It's just... Really, these kind of setups and these cliche characters, you know, are what we're getting at this point in age. So again, if its biggest crime is that it just fails to really entertain and make you laugh.
I can sum this one up. The hustle totally didn't work. 4 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4 as well, which, you know, I think feels rather mean, but. Again, this is a movie with very little in the way of redeeming qualities. I can't really recommend that you even watch it at the back of an airplane. You know, I can't even think of the audience that would find this funny.
Like our parents.
Poorly executed.
Our parents might, right? It's kind of a caper. The physical comedy is funny at times.
If you say so. Yeah.
I mean, I would rather people watch The Long Shot, which is the movie with Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron, which came out.
Right.
Which is really, I think it hasn't done very well at the box office, but I think that movie has so much heart. So much heart. And Charlize Theron is, we don't deserve her, as I said during our podcast. Anyway, moving on.
All right. Well,
we've reached the finish line for this podcast.
We have indeed. So, let's wrap it up. Mail at movierollers.com, twitter.com/movierollers, facebook.com/movierollers, instagram.com/movierollers. Lots of ways that you can follow us. Please do. We like to get your likes, so do like us. Until our next episode, where we talk about John Wick, Aladdin, and Booksmart. Which
three
I'm kind
big
of
movies,
really excited
yeah.
To talk about.
Yes, yes.
It's too many movies, too little time. A goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.